is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
The Thursday Cliffo and Bronte podcast. When do you start getting excited about the weekend?
It's usually, my friend,
Tuesday.
Around this time on a Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday's a fun night. Dylan and I get takeaway. I have to help him.
Because he's not around Wednesday night.
No.
Wednesday night is your night.
Yeah,
that you do that.
I usually do too, but he was over last night.
Oh.
So Tuesday night was my solo dolo night.
Okay. But I tried to do that with my wife and kids. Every Wednesday night, you guys have to leave.
And they went about it, Dad.
I don't care.
That's why you've got to buy them takeaway on the Thursday to help ease the pain.
That's so funny you say that because I was flicking through TikTok, right?
Yes.
And a few weeks ago, we do a thing called Fat Family Friday where we just get like the dirtiest takeaway possible or whatever on a Friday night. And we had KFC and they had this deal called Cheap as Chips where it literally fed with leftovers, it fed the family of four.
What was it, Tommy?
And we still had leftovers.
I love KFC.
Oh, it had popcorn chicken.
Stop it.
Chips.
Regular chicken?
The herbs and spices chicken or whatever. Like, I don't know how many pieces. Might have been 8 pieces or something.
Perfect.
There was enough for all of us. Anyway, that was like 2 weeks ago and I'm flicking through TikTok and an ad comes up and they're still doing
it. It's back, baby.
And Michelle was like, because where my son does swimming lessons, it's next to a KFC. Swimming lessons are Thursday. She's like, you're going there straight after swimming lessons.
It would be rude not to.
Right?
You guys deserve a night off.
Thank you.
We deserve a night off. We'll see you at KFC, everyone.
It's a worry when Fat Family Friday becomes also on Thursday, though. Like, it's a slippery slope.
You could call it Thick Thursday.
Ooh, yeah. Thick Thigh Thursday.
Yes.
Hang about. Two people who aren't into that, two very elite sports people on the pod today.
Yeah. They're not having Thick Thursdays.
They're not doing Fat Family Fridays. Kyle Felt from the Cowboys, Steph Reed from the JCU Townsville Fire. We also find out why Bronte's a thief.
Thief is a strong word. Plagiarizer is probably better.
Potato, potato. plus the kids' TV show theme bangers mashed up DJ Konski style.
But DJ Big Cliff.
DJ Big Cliff into house. It's coming up. Cliff on Bronte.
Facebook fails.
Bit of a fashion-y Thursday on the show. We just had the fashion corner. Thank you so much for taking us there once again.
Thank you. The corner acknowledges your love of the segment and gives it straight back to you.
This is my gift to the Fashion Corner because this is a Fashion Facebook Fails edition.
Okay.
Three statuses from my past, all to do with fashion.
Okay.
And you have to pick which one is fake and which two I actually posted.
Well, if it's you and fashion, I'm going to tip they're all fake. None are real.
You saw those photos I showed you in confidence from 2011. Starting with jegging overalls for a newborn, yay or nay?
Yay.
Okay, that's not the question, but that's number one. Number two.
Yeah.
Has anyone seen my silky pants?
Has anyone? Yeah, you'd say that.
And number three, denim is to die for.
Okay, I feel like two and three, the silky thing and the denim thing, I feel like they are real. And I'm only basing it off the fact, like, I feel like, how long ago were these posts?
These were all from around 2011, my first year at uni.
Yeah, I don't think you were caring about newborns and stuff back in 2011.
Yeah,
but I feel like the silky thing and the denim thing would be on your radar. So,
and still to this day.
Yeah.
But you are incorrect.
Oof.
Silky pants was real. Someone stole them from my college room at the University of Queensland.
That's believable.
So I was asking, has anyone seen my silky pants? But jegging overalls. I remember seeing them when I was working down on the Gold Coast and I didn't like jeggings and I didn't like them for a newborn. Or maybe
you cared enough to put it on Facebook.
It was 2011. It was a different time. Yeah. We've been through this.
We put everything on Facebook back then. The world of fashion is a weird one, and I would know because I host the ever increasingly popular segment on the show.
Oh, my God.
Cliffo's Fashion Corner.
I'm too sexy.
Love it. Thank God you are here to navigate this fashion world because yeah. God knows I would have no idea. I'm drowning in the fashion and trying to understand it.
I'm like the Derek Zoolander.
Yeah.
Of the Queensland fashion world. I'm here to break it all down.
Thank God.
And this is a weird, this is a food meets fashion story.
Oh.
My other passion.
Your other corner?
Mate. Yeah, the food corner.
Yeah, the food corner.
Yeah, put that on the whiteboard.
Ooh,
let's do that.
I like that.
So a top chef by the name of Jeff Schroeder, this guy's worked in top restaurants in like Paris and New York and like the restaurants or whatever.
Michelin stars out the wazoo,
all that
probably.
Stuff, mate. Mm. So he's revealed the weird and wacky things he's had to cook for two fashion icons.
Okay.
Anna Wintour, who's Devil Wears Prada.
Inspo.
Woman.
Yeah, Vogue editor, I believe.
And Karl Lagerfeld. He was the creative director of Chanel.
Yes, most recently.
For years.
Yes.
Carved it a few years ago.
He did. Because of something he ate?
No.
Okay.
I believe he was like 100.
He was
more of an old age thing. So Jeff said at this particular restaurant he was working at, they had this beautiful tuna salad, but Anna Wintour does not like fresh tuna. So she used to bring her own canned tuna in and hand it to the waiter, who would hand it to the busboy, who would bring it to the kitchen. So then Jeff would just make the rest of the dish. He'd make this beautiful salad.
Yeah.
Then he'd just whip open the can of tuna and just plonk it on the top.
My gosh.
She would eat it and she'd be like, this is the best tuna salad I've ever had. And he would charge full price.
Oh, as he should. Do you think she was going for like the Coles home brand, like balsamic one that
she's
I like?
She's more of a John West girl.
Oh, you reckon she's
maybe fiery jalapeno John West?
All right, Anna.
Over to Karl Lagerfeld. This is a good one. Karl came into his restaurant after a runway show with 12 of his friends and ordered an American hot dog with fries.
Yum.
But keep in mind, this is a Michelin star. Like, this is a restaurant that serves caviar and foie gras.
Yeah, all the was.
Yeah, all the was.
Mm.
And poor Jeff was like, we don't have hot dogs. So, again, he got a busboy. And because it was in New York, he sent him down to the nearest street corner because, you know, on every corner in New York, they sell hot dogs.
Yeah, from the bodegas. Is that what it is?
No, yeah. Like the cart thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, give us 12. But the problem was Carl wanted fries as well. And on those little carts, they don't sell fries. So he sent another busboy to Macca's.
No.
So then on a plate.
No, this is
true. Jeff went on a podcast, on a news.com podcast and said all this. So then he would just plate up 12 hot dogs.
Okay.
With Macca's fries on the side, sent him out, and Karl Lagerfeld said, quote, it's one of the best meals I have ever had.
I'm just starting to question, Anna and Karl, eat what you want, that's fine. I'm starting to question Jeff's skills. If he can't even chop up some potatoes and make some chips,
you reckon?
I can do that.
Look, it's easy to tell stories about a person when they're dead.
Yeah.
And they can't come back.
We'll say that again and again.
Countdown is on to the King's coronation.
It is.
On just 48 hours after Star Wars Day, May the 4th.
Yeah.
May the 4th be with you.
Can't believe you didn't think about that.
God, wouldn't that have been a great
tie-in?
He could come out dressed as Vader.
Maybe people would have gone to be his headliner at the performance.
Well, there's been a few little issues. Number one, no one's available to play. Harry Styles.
Booked.
Can't do it. Adele.
Booked.
Ed Sheeran.
Booked.
It's looking like the headliner is going to be the winner of, I think, Britain's Got Talent.
X Factor.
X Factor, was it?
Ollie Murs. We didn't even win.
Didn't they win? Well, either did Shannon Knoll. And look at him, mate.
Exactly.
Look at him. I'll be your missus and your mum. So there's no one locked in to headline it. So they're struggle street already.
Yeah.
But this is alarming. It has been confirmed that all three of the grandkids sort of in line to the throne or whatever. So I want to kind of exclude the Ginger and the Whinger, Harry and Meghan, out of this conversation.
Well, we don't even know if they're coming.
We don't even know if they're coming. They were given an invite.
Yep.
They went back with a list of demands that have to be met.
Classic
Harry and Meghan, right? But it has been confirmed for the whole coronation, even for the really formal bits. 9-year-old Prince George, 7-year-old Prince Charlotte, and 4-year-old Prince Louis will all be in attendance. Now, I don't think we'll have any problems with George or Charlotte.
No, they've gone with their parents to a few events and are very well behaved.
Louis, I'm a bit worried about.
He doesn't get the invite usually. <It's> I haven't seen him out and about.
There's a reason, mate. He's four, and he is the youngest. The youngest is always the
wildest?
As Ollie would say, troublemaker. Troublemaker.
I want to see this in Buckingham Palace, I'll tell you what.
Troublemaker will come on and Prince Louis will be like, that's me. And it got me thinking of the time, because we're talking here a very formal, very well-to-do occasion or whatever with a four-year-old. Things can go wrong.
Yes.
And it happened to my wife and I. It wasn't a coronation or anything like that. It was a confirmation.
Okay.
So my daughter goes to a Catholic school and she has been baptized. Mm. And the next stage of that, when they're like...
Six or seven.
You have your confirmation. And Charlie's now four. That happened about like a year ago. So that made him three.
Oh, no.
And it was at 7:30 at night, which is like, you know, dinner time, bath time, very much bedtime.
Yeah.
By 8 o'clock. First, it started with the wiggling and the squirming.
Is he between you and Michelle right now?
He was, but then we had to put him on my lap to try and, you know, tame the beast.
Yeah.
And he didn't want that. So then came the fighting back and the, you know. And then, you know, we've sort of escalated up to the, you know, the loud kind of. No, Dad.
Shrieking,
shrieking or whatever. And it got to the point where he did have to be restrained and taken out the front. Of the church.
Forcibly removed.
Forcibly removed. Yeah. I was like the security detail.
under your arm.
Under the arm.
Yeah. Come on, mate.
Put him in a choke, Oldie.
You've had too much.
He moved out pretty quickly. But it got me thinking, 13:10:60, when's a kid ruined the event?
Oh.
Or when's a kid just acted up so much that they become the center of attention at a thing that's not about them? So talking weddings.
Yeah.
Funerals.
Oh, funerals. Oh, no.
Anything in a church.
I saw, and churches are so, like, stiffly quiet. And so for a three-year-old to be shrieking.
Those acoustics really bounce off those timber
don't
walls.
They?
But have a think of it. It's happening. Prince Louis, four-year-old, he is going to the King's coronation. I've put up with it at my daughter's Catholic confirmation. But 13:10:60, when did a kid carry on, mate?
And that's a long event. Like that, he's going to be sitting in a stuffy old church for, I'm going to say, 3 hours.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it Westminster Abbey too? Because you can't even get a good view there.
It's going to be Westminster.
It's designed so poorly.
Crabby. I'm done.
Best joke
I'll
ever. 13:10:60. Miley's here. Who was the kid, Miley?
My sister.
Okay.
What happened?
So it was her christening. She was about 3-4 years old, and she was going up to the the priest. She absolutely threw a tantrum, and she started running through this church, screaming, "Don't touch me! I'll get my dad!"
Sounds like here, kid. That's what you meant to be getting.
I'll be honest, because they do that, Miley. Like, they'll line up all of the kids that are set to be baptized. And I've been to a few baptisms. I'm just that age where all the kids are having friends or whatever.
Yeah.
And you do always look at the row of kids and you're like, which one's going to be the naughty one? And Miley, what's your sister's name?
Ellie. She's in the car right now.
Oh, Ellie. Tis, 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 Ellie. Rita's here. Rita, what kid ruined something just with their behavior?
Hey guys, so it wasn't an event. It was my daughter about, she's about 18 months old, and we were taking a plane ride. It was like a late night red eye one.
Mm. Oh.
She was cutting laps up and down the aisle. She wouldn't sit down. I tried settling her at the back of the plane, tried settling her at the front of the plane, and then one of the flight attendants says, oh, so there's a toilet in there that I think there's a bench that you could maybe sit on and try and settle her in there.
Oh,
wow. So we basically spent the whole flight in the toilet cubicle.
Wow. To the loo.
I wonder if they've got that secret little cubicle at the coronation, because that's where Prince Louis will be. Where's Louis?
Still in the toilet again.
In the portal, Louis. Alexis on 13:10:60.
Yeah.
Who was the kid, mate?
It was me.
Oh, I love when we take ownership. What did you do?
So, I was about 2 years old, and it was my uncle and aunt's wedding, and I was the flower girl. And halfway down the aisle, I stopped, put down the basket, and started looking up the skirts of the ladies, the women, and the dresses, and started looking up the skirts and dresses.
Yeah, usually that's...
And there's photo proof. There is photo proof of this.
Oh,
usually that's the groomsman trying to...
Oh, no. After the ceremony.
Podcasters, this is the part of the pod where we give you an exclusive clue for tomorrow. Friday the 24th March is... Friday the 24th of March is?
Yes.
Is that the right grammar?
Yeah, sure.
Friday the 24th of March is game of...
There we go.
Alpha Bucks.
Yes. And the end of the week, but we're starting at the beginning of the alphabet with A, because your clue is archery.
Archery, yeah. As in the bow and arrow sport, I guess.
As in Katniss Everdeen.
Yes, yeah. Archery. Yeah. A, your free letter. End of the week, first letter of the alphabet for Alpha Bucks tomorrow on Hit. I brought you the 2023 kids TV show themes that I believe could be bangers.
Yep.
Like, could be songs, like on the radio, or just songs that people listen to on Spotify or Listener app or whatever.
You think we should get rid of the ones that we're getting from TikTok and look for children's TV show themes and put them in rotation?
Well,
on
they're
the
genuine
station.
Bangers, mate. Okay. Like, this is not
this
what we're
our...
dealing with anymore.
No. Well, right. My skin itch.
This is as good as it was back in the day.
Yeah.
The songs that intro kids' TV shows now are genuine songs, like real bangers. And I thought, I'll prove it. I'll play it on the radio yesterday. Mm. Again, get that on the Listener app. Mm. But to take it one step further, I've made a DJ Konksky-style mashup of the hottest kids' TV show themes of 2023. Right?
Yeah.
So you got the turntables out.
Oh, did you?
DJ chops, headphones on.
Oh, nice.
All that sort of stuff.
Do you have a name?
DJ... Big Cliff.
Nice. Nice. A lot
that
of
That was
thought.
Bad. I
a
just came of, up in 2 seconds.
That's what it is.
There.
Forevermore.
We'll brainstorm a name.
No, that's it.
But the shows I presented you with yesterday were the new, like the 2023 theme for Thomas and Friends.
Yes.
Thomas the Tank Engine. Fireman Sam.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And Spidey and His Amazing Friends, which is huge on Netflix. It's a Spider-Man, like for toddlers and stuff.
Yeah, with an absolute banger.
Yeah, total bangers, all three of those.
Yeah.
So here they are. For your listening pleasure, DJ Konksky style mashed up. Enjoy.
Let's go, go, go on a big world adventure. Let's go, go, go explore with Thomas and his friends. Let's go, go, go and meet.
Started with the slower one.
Yes.
It's going to get
good build.
Just built up as we go along.
I trust DJ Big Cliff.
Big adventures, Thomas and friends, big world, big adventures.
Fire get the glow sticks out.
Sam is always cool and calm. If you're stuck, give him a shout. He'll be there to help you out. So move aside, make way for Fireman.
How's that drop?
Need a bit more DJ air horn, yes. I feel
it's coming.
Oh, okay.
Sam is the hero next door.
Here comes Spidey.
What's right? The Spidey team is on the scene, swinging, spinning, crawling the walls. Spidey crew do it all. They're your friendly neighborhood spiders, and their teamwork can't be tighter.
Pitched a bit weird.
Look, it's hard to match these beats.
Go, let's go. Whoa. It's time to Spidey swing with Spidey and his amazing. Spidey and his amazing friends.
Okay, yeah.
Explosion
out. Okay, yeah, you can give yourself a round of applause. Two bits of feedback.
I don't know who you are to give the feedback, but righto, hit me.
I feel like it is missing a little bit of DJ air horn.
Okay, a bit of...
Yeah, blah, 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 that
okay,
kind of thing.
Yeah, fine.
And you've said this to me multiple times when I've made this call about changing jobs.
Yeah.
Don't quit your day job.
I don't think I'm very good at that either.
Ask you some questions.
Jesus, man, I have never seen you this worked up.
I am wired.
Ooh.
I'm nervous. I feel like I'm in grade 7 running the 100 metres against Tia.
Well, Tia is here, and I love this about Tia. Tia, you share a birthday with your own daughter. She was born on your birthday. And secretly, you've always kind of held it against her, haven't you, mate?
I do hold it against her all the time.
Classic Leo behaviour. Am I right? Are you a Leo?
No, we are not.
That's the first wrong answer right there, Bronte. Just stop while you're ahead.
I meant Libra. Libra?
No, Cancer.
Yeah, that's. I was just going to say that.
Totally.
It was on the start with
an L.
I have
a
list.
All right, Langers.
Oh, my God.
Into the soundproof booth you go. And T, you're well aware this is the highest it's ever been, right? $350.
Yeah.
All right, pressure's on you. But pressure is on Bronte. I can tell she's really nervous. So, whew, good luck. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. What shape is a stop sign?
A hexagon.
What were Jack and Jill fetching from the top of the hill?
A bucket of water.
What animal is on the Porsche logo?
Horse. Is it a jaguar?
What food never goes bad?
What food never goes bad?
Oh, ever.
Pass.
How many colours in the rainbow?
Eight.
What food never goes bad? Out of time!
Oh, I don't know.
So this food, they actually found it in the Egyptian tombs and it wasn't out of date. So that's how they know.
Yeah, right.
We'll get Bronte out of the soundproof booth. It'll be the same 30 seconds. It will be the same 5 questions. She's smiling. I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign for you, Tia.
Only because producer Alicia has such a good poker face that I have no idea. And I just watch her the whole time in the soundproof booth and I got nothing.
She's nothing away.
Nothing away.
That's our producer Alicia, mate. She's as cold as ice when she needs to be. All right, let's do it. $350 on the line, 30 seconds on the clock. Bronte Langbrook, the moment of truth starts now. What shape is a stop sign?
A octagon.
What were Jack and Jill fetching from the top of the hill?
A pail of water.
What animal is on the Porsche logo?
A horse.
What food never goes bad?
Honey.
How many colours in the rainbow?
7. And I did have to sing the rainbow song.
I can sing a rainbow.
I might have missed one though.
Sing a rainbow too.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, some pretty confident-ish answers there.
Yeah, better than yesterday.
Skepticism around some of them, but producer Alicia, how did we go?
A stop sign is an octagon. Bronte got that one correct. Tia guessed a hexagon, which is a good guess, but not correct, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Jack and Jill were fetching a pail of water. Both of you got that one correct. A horse is on the Porsche logo. Bronte got that one correct. Tia said a Jaguar.
I thought a good guess at Jaguar, like if you didn't know, Tia.
Very close. Honey never goes bad. As Clippo explained, it was found in the Egyptian tombs.
Yes.
Bronte got that one correct. Tia passed. And there are 7 colours in the rainbow, which Tia said 8, but Bronte said 7, so it's a clean sweep.
She clean sweeped you, mate! Bronte's taking it out. Oh, Tia, look, I mean, you were a confident player and you really got the answers out there, Tia, and I don't think that was reflected on the scoreboard today. It wasn't your day, mate.
That's all right. Thanks anyway, guys.
But you're a Cancer and your birthday's coming up soon. So
or a
happy
Leo
early
or a Libra.
Birthday.
You're one of those things. We can't remember.
Yeah, but...
Producer Alicia's Maths in a Minute.
The penultimate Maths in a Minute. Only one more that we will hear, which is devastating.
I feel like Leisha's done with it.
Yeah.
I feel
well,
like
last week.
There's two
more episodes to go and then it's over. So we'll get into the end.
Maths becomes this every year. It becomes a marathon to finish by the end of it. Because not only does it go for too long, the series, but the episodes are like a 2-hour investment.
It's a lot.
4 nights a week.
And I imagine a lot of it is just like repeated stuff.
It's just the same drama again and again and again. It's
but like, we get to hear it in 60 seconds. Thank goodness.
All right, are you good to go, mate?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Can we sum up the week that was Married at First Sight in 60 seconds? Producer Alicia, your time begins now.
At the commitment ceremony, Alyssa is mad at Duncan for admitting that he cried, and Bronte and Harrison yet again write stay despite being broken up the day before. This week is homestay week, and Alyssa reveals to Duncan that due to commitments with her child, she'll only be able to see him every other weekend, which could be a deal breaker for Duncan, who says it sounds like a part-time relationship. Lyndall and Cameron's relationship unravels in the Northern Territory, and Cameron is in his element but still unable to show Lyndall the affection she needs. Rupert organises a paint and sip night for Evelyn, and the night ends with them finally consummating their marriage. Harrison comes to head with Bronte's sister, who holds him accountable and calls him a narcissistic gaslighting head. Melinda and Leighton appear to break up over a cupboard door being left open, and an explosive dinner party sees Bronte finally standing up against Harrison before the honesty boxes are delivered by the experts. Cameron admits to the group that Lyndall isn't the girl for him, and Melinda admits that she's in love with Leighton, which he can't seem to understand. Bronte and Harrison come head to head, but the group back Bronte before she finally claims that she's finally done with him and leaves the party, although we have heard that before.
Oh,
wow.
Thank you.
You feel like it would slow down towards the pointy end, but the craziness just gets stepped up another level, doesn't it?
I don't know.
It just gets worse and worse.
I don't remember any of those names being used any other week. Duncan and
pay attention
Cameron
to what I say.
I know.
So Cameron and Lyndall, Cameron was the one who said, "I got you," when Lyndall said that she had cystic fibrosis.
Oh.
So they started off really, really strong, and now it's just a mess, and he can't commit to her, basically.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So
I did hear, I read another story this week, or I read a headline about the woman who keeps dropping the whole, "I have a child."
I have a child. That's what she said.
Non-stop.
In that, "I have a child."
Right.
Parents, you're not the only parent ever.
Parents are the worst.
Yeah.
Aren't they? I'm so glad you said it.
I acknowledge it right here, right now. We suck.
There is a new husband of a Sydney influencer who is going viral at the moment after footage of his wedding speech was posted by his new wife on her account.
Of course it was posted.
Of course. She's
of course
an influencer.
She posted it.
Her name is Jade Tumchi, and she's married to this guy, Lockie, and they had a very lavish wedding ceremony in October last year in the Hunter Valley. And to do a little throwback post, Jade decided to share a video of Lockie's speech. Take a listen.
"When I say I love you more, I don't mean I love you more than you love me. I mean I love you more than the bad days ahead of us. I love you more than any fight we will ever have. I love you more than any amount of distance keeping us apart. And I love you more than any obstacle that would try to come between us. I love you more than anything."
Solid speech game, son.
Solid.
Solid speech game.
It would have been if he had written it. So when she posted this...
I don't know why I'm acting surprised. We're talking influencers here. Like, the depths that they will go to should not surprise anyone.
This
of us.
Is going to come back and bite me, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Because, yes, when she posted that video, a lot of people were like, "Oh, that's really beautiful."
That's what I was just like. It is beautiful.
He didn't write it. It's from a poem by a author called Erin Nicol. And...
of course it was written by a woman.
It's so beautiful.
It's too good.
And you can see Jade in the video is just like bawling, because if your partner had written those words and it had come from you, the bottom of his heart, of course it would make you upset. But he didn't write it.
But that's just so the world of social media influencers. I'd rather something that's a little rougher and not perfect, but written from the heart. The person I'm marrying.
It's
do you know what I mean?
It's still from the heart. Just sometimes you have to
just
take...
just from someone else's heart.
You have to take some inspiration when you're trying to write a speech. It can be really difficult.
I know the only reason you're defending him is because I don't know where this is going to involve you, but I know you're about to throw yourself into the pit with this guy.
My sister got married last year. And I was, she didn't have any like maid of honors or anything. I was the MC, but also was doing a speech with my little brother as the siblings of one of the brides. And I had just moved here. I had a lot on my plate. I left writing the speech to the last minute. And
I remember that because you moved to Queensland, that's right. And you were actually in the midst of moving and you had to chuff off.
Up and down.
For the wedding and then come back.
And so when it came to writing the speech, it was hard for me to start. You know, it's hard for you to start writing things sometimes. Mm. And so I may or may not have gone on TikTok and looked up other speeches that Sisters of Brides have written and taken some of the lines from theirs. And they were the lines that got the most tears.
What you, so you must have changed them a little bit for, you know, you will love each other rather than I will love you, because if you were up there professing your love.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that one's written.
But I also like.
That'd be kind of weird.
Subbed Chloe's name in, obviously, yeah, for where the other names were. So, yeah, I made it my own.
Could have been worse. You could have done the Ralph Wiggum from The Simpsons. We choose you.
I was that close.
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.